Here we go. Turn to Romans chapter 15, and we'll look at a classic verse, which is why I don't tell people to stop reading the Old Testament or the Tribulation books. I don't tell people that at all. Never have, and don't ever plan on it. You just can't apply them to us. That's all we can sure learn from them. He says, actually, in Romans 15, verse 4, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So we're going to look back to a couple Old Testament verses to kind of get us started on something. We'll learn something from back in those days. And we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3. This is a small little phrase that I heard years and years and years ago, and it always impressed me. Back at the Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And down at verse 16, where these guys are told, you know, when they hear the sound of the sackbut, cornet, all that sort of thing, and all kinds of music, they're to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar, and these guys weren't about to do that. And Nebuchadnezzar asked them in the last part of verse 15, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" You know, people really think that we're nuts, or people are nuts, or whatever, even Christians, just in general, are nuts, and where's your God at when he doesn't, you know, come down and do these miracles and do all these fabulous things that everybody has been preached that they say they're going to do those sorts of things. And they say, "Well, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And then these guys say here, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.'" Didn't take a lot of thought on their part. They just had the answer. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and if he will deliver us out of thine hand, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." Then he says, and this is the phrase I want to look at tonight, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And I've always liked that. They said, you know, if God doesn't step in here and take us out of this burning fire, that doesn't change our thoughts, our worship of him, and I'm not going to fall into the world's ways or anything. I'm not going to do that. So here we are. We've got Paul. We've got the risen Savior teaching. We've got a King James Bible. And we hope God takes care of us. We know he will. He says he does. But there's all these things that don't happen in our lives that would somehow we have, if not in the past, maybe still do, wonder, well, where's God at? And we have to look at this phrase, "but if not." So here we have this God, we have a known God, a living God, and we understand the rightly divided King James Bible. We understand following Paul and his teachings of the risen Savior. And we are seeing some things that sometimes we don't understand yet, but we, you know, do we ever say, you know, if this doesn't work, whatever, but you know, I'm going to learn some things here. And, you know, if something doesn't take place, I know it's okay. I'm not going to quit serving God. You're going to, again, back to those things that are sound doctrine in Timothy and Titus. You're going to try to do those things. You're going to try to change your life and make some adjustments in your day-to-day affairs or whatever. And they're going to cause problems. And what if people don't like it? I mean, what if it even crumbles and all that? Well, you know, if it doesn't work, I'm still not going to change what I believe. I'm still not going to change my belief in the King James Bible. God is still there. Something happened that I crumbled and I fumbled on. It isn't God's fault. So these guys had a strong faith, and you know in the Old Testament, they had to have a strong faith. It was their faith they were living by their own faith. But that's pretty strong faith. These guys are going to be tossed into the stove, the oven here, and they said, "Listen, God will take care of us. God will get us out. But if he doesn't, he's still God, and we're not going to change any of that stuff." And that kind of an answer, look at verse 19, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was to be heated, than it was wont to be heated. He really got upset. They could see a change in his whole visage, the way he appeared to them even. They had a strong faith, and it made him mad. We exhibit a strong faith today, even though we know it's his faith, but as our faith has grown, quite often, it makes somebody mad. It made Nebuchadnezzar mad that they had that kind of a confidence in their Bible. For example, we have confidence in this King James Bible to be the Word of God. You know, that kind of confidence bothers people. You know, we believe that this Bible needs to be rightly divided. We have no doubt whatsoever. You know, that bothers people. we believe that we should follow Paul, what Paul teaches, not Great Commission, not the tribulation stuff. See, that bothers people. But if it even, let's just say that it was wrong. But you know what? You love God and you're serving a living God, and you're going to learn more as time goes on. What if something doesn't? But if. So we're going to look at that phrase, but if. What if God, something doesn't take place when you're counting on it to take place? So I got to look at Jeremiah 13. So let's just do a kind of a word study, kind of a phrase study on but if. And let's see what pops in our little sermon here tonight. Look at Jeremiah 13. I know Jeremiah is not to us, but Jeremiah is an example, is an ensample for us to learn from. Jeremiah had to tell Israel that they were rejecting God's words. That's the same message we have for people today. And Jeremiah says in chapter 13, verse 15, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turn into it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness." So, you know, we have the same message in quite a similar manner. It's just that if you're a lost person, that darkness can overtake you when you die. So yeah, there's that message. Now to a Christian, we know that we don't need to be preaching that if he's truly a Christian. But it says in verse 17, "But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." So Jeremiah wanted these folks to hear what he had to say, but if they didn't hear it, he was upset by it. He knew what was going to happen to him. But if you do not hear it, and how many times do you want to tell somebody about the King James Bible? Well, if they don't hear it, but if they don't hear it, you can keep trying. Look at chapter 22. Still with Jeremiah, just a couple of quick things. Jeremiah 22, verse 5. And we see here, "But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." Okay, so if people out there don't hear God's words, but if they will not hear these words, King James Bible, rightly divided, then their life, their house, when they die, will be desolation. They may be having a great time today on this earth. And we understand why in Romans chapter 2, storing that stuff away for wrath and his long suffering and patience. But if they won't hear these words, but if you will not hear these words, it will end in a bad way still. And then one more from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 22. And this is, to me, a very strong but if, and it would even have fit today in some respects. He says, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." Old Testament, their doings was their works. But still, you know, if people would just hear the counsel of this Bible. And he says, if they had stood in my counsel, that's Jeremiah, and had caused my people to hear my words, which would have to be the words of God. So, we shouldn't be saying that as a pastor or as a preacher. The words that they need to hear, King James, are the words of the King James Bible, rightly divided, of course. Then that will change their lives. That will turn them from the evil ways, not for their salvation, but it'll turn them to salvation. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, and then their lives can change. And we know all that stuff with Paul. But if people would just stand in Paul's counsel, this King James Bible's counsel, Paul's teachings and this King James Bible could cause people to get them to turn from their evil ways of this day and age. So it's got some spiritual application to it. But again, we don't worry about what's going to happen if a Christian stops turning to God's counsel. Yeah, his life can fall apart, but he still belongs to God. So there's where people get mixed up with that stuff. So anyway, but if, now let's go to the tribulation. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see what kind of but ifs take place during there before we get into Paul's. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And here it talks about, now the just shall live by faith. Okay, so then again, we're back to their faith again here. And it says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition. but of them believe to the saving of the soul. So, during the tribulation, but if they don't stay with what they need to be taught from Peter and Revelation, those things, but if they don't stay there and they go back, they lose their salvation. They go back. See, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. That's a Hebrew. Well, what about chapter 12, verse 8? What about chapter 12, verse 8? You hear this all the time. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So, are you without chastisement? But if ye be without chastisement, maybe when this whole thing about preaching the chastisement issue, maybe it's because none of us are saved, and he's not chastising us because of that. We're just lost people living in this world. And the few little remnants that are out there saved, who are being arrested for saying things on the street corners and for all the things that are taking place, maybe they're the only ones that are saved. Or we look at what Paul said about chastisement, and this is a tribulation verse. So, if you're going to claim Hebrews chapter 12, verse 8 today, then don't forget to turn to James chapter 2, and don't forget to claim this verse as well. James chapter 2, verse 9. It's another but if. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin. And you know what it says in 1 John chapter 3, that if you commit sin, you're not of God. So that whole thing is out the window. That's just by having respect to persons. And we tend to do that still to these days. Sure we do. Look at James chapter, go down to verse 12. I don't know, James chapter 3, verse 13, there we go. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that's your walk, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Which it would be true. We're not supporting bitterness and envy and strife kind of a thing. It says in verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And I'm sure that's very true in many situations. We get bitter towards people or something or situation or something, and it can turn into a real mess. That's a possibility. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Well, I don't know why it's so hard for people to get a hold of a rightly divided Bible, but it isn't easy to be entreated today. They're full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's what God's Word is. That's what this Bible is. So, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you look back and look ahead into the tribulation. This whole thing about bitter and envying, if they get into a bitter and envying situation, then they'll lose everything that they had. So we see some tribulation application. Look at chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil of another brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, but if, are you judging the law? There's no law for us to judge. Again, this is a tribulation. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. But if, is what we're looking at. Daniel, or Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, God will take care of us, but if he doesn't get us out of this mess, he's still our God, and we're not going to lose our faith, and we're going to still stand strong anyway. And we should have that kind of strength. So we're looking at tribulation verses for this phrase, but if. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So do you have a bad boss? Well, in the tribulation, be subject to that boss, no matter froward, good, or gentle. Well, Paul teaches that in Timothy. You know, he teaches how to deal with a boss, say boss or lost boss. But again, if you mess with your boss, you don't lose your salvation today. You might lose your job, but you won't lose your salvation as such. And he says here in verse 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." So we get into those situations today, don't we? Sure we do. Does this apply to us? Not to us. There's some good advice there, though. You know, if somebody's going to challenge you because of who you really are, that's what's the problem? That's going to happen to you anyway. He says, but if when you do well, you know, dress right, talk right, stop doing this, go in here, and you get hassled for it, then yeah, we're still to take it patiently, or to avoid, or we're to answer, have the answers. But during the tribulation, they just have to deal with it, put up with it, and just keep going on. That whole peaceful thing. It's just an illustration to see where this, but if, when you do well and suffer for it, this is acceptable with God. Okay, let's look at one more, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. You do suffer for doing right, for doing well. Sure we do today. Just in the tribulation, it'll really have some effect. Last one for the tribulation, 1 John chapter 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Based on what? Walking in the light. That's your walk. If you're a Christian today, you're in the light, but what if you play around in the darkness that's out there? What if there's something that's going on in your day-to-day job affairs? Are you no longer forgiven? Do you no longer have fellowship one with another? Is that where you get this breaking fellowship thing from? Sure glad Christ doesn't ever break fellowship because we slip up and do something wrong, even if we do it on purpose. Anyway, but if we walk in the light, that was the string attached. Anyway, there's your but if for the Old Testament, Jeremiah, and the tribulation. Let's go to Acts chapter 23. We'll see some more that's really told to us to learn from. And show you some interesting things here. Acts 23:9. Forgot my clock. That's right there. Okay. Acts 23:9. Hard to miss that thing. So here's the first one. And this is an interesting thing. Acts 23, verse 1. We'll go to verse 1. Set up the stage here. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Boo! Right there, smacked him in the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees, and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Paul already divided up the crowd. You know, why is that? Well, because it says here, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." Now here's verse 9. "And there arose a great cry. And the scribes, that were of Pharisees' part, arose and strove, saying, We find no evil in this man," Paul, "we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now, I would imagine that Paul has said what he told them. He told what he told to the Galatians by revelation of Christ himself. What he talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, a revelation from Christ himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or 12, I think it is, where he goes up to the third heaven to be with him and hear the teachings. And Christ even said he's going to talk to him. So it's kind of sad that these folks, but if an angel has spoken to him, let's not fight him. What if what he says is true? But if, see, and this guy wasn't going to take that chance. He said, "Let us not fight against God." See, they knew, this guy knew fighting against Paul would be fighting against God. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We all tend to do that. We go against what we've read and we challenge these things and we actually realize that we're fighting against God. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says here, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So even though we have no law, even though we have our flesh that we have to live inside, He still would have us do the right thing. That's still His desire. That's still His calling. That's still the judgment and the growth we're supposed to experience. He says, He therefore that despiseth, in verse 8, who doesn't want to do what Paul preaches from the risen Savior, says here, despiseth not man. He's not mad at Paul. They're not mad at me. They're not mad at somebody else, but they're mad at God. Because it says, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. So, if you're against this stuff, it just says right there, you're really mad at God, not at the preacher. Just like he said in Acts 23, let's not fight against God here. If this guy really did talk to somebody, let's not fight against God. But it's sad that it wasn't enough to get them to see the truth of what Paul was preaching. But that's normal. Okay, so that was Acts 23:9. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's look at another but if. It's too bad those guys didn't know. But if, yeah, Paul was. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. There's a couple ones in here now. And Romans chapter 8 is a powerful chapter anyway, all by itself. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, you're not circumcised by this operation of God there. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So if you got the Spirit of God in you, then you're not dwelling in the flesh. So, okay, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay? But if, there's our but if, our first one there. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, that's pretty exciting. This is one of those places where Paul is not only preaching the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of us. Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For we, if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if, there's just another but if, ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's exciting. Mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. That's Bible reading. Make those changes. Sure. Salvation is not dependent upon it, though. Just the rewards, as he talks about with the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go down here to Romans chapter 8, verse 12. We just did that one. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groaned within murders, ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if, there it is, but if we hope for that we cannot, that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. But if, just have to have patience, and God will do His works in our lives when God is ready to do those things. Let's look at Romans chapter 11, Jewish chapter. Talks about the Jews here. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Well, of course he would say this in verse 6. And if by grace there is no more grace of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Well, of course it wouldn't be. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. But we need to have God's grace. We're not living in the time where we can fight the devil. We're not living in the tribulation. We're not living in the early days, the dark ages, where people are tortured for stuff. But we see here in, again, verse 6, wouldn't that be Great Commission? This is Jewish teachings here, as far as to the Jews here, when he says, and if by grace, then is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more. Now, if anybody's trying to work their way to heaven or work their way into that sort of a thing, then there's no grace involved here. But if you're trying to do it through grace, then there's no works involved either. Just the other way around, too. That's a good but if. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The notes will be online tonight. You can always look at this later, look at those verses. Not going to talk much about the verses themselves, but just show you the verses. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. Actually, verse 23. And this is a speaking in tongues chapter. This is that famous chapter that if anybody wants to speak in tongues, Paul will show you how to do it here properly, but not today. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church has come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they say not that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, nor one or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And there's the word convinced, not convicted. We're convinced. The Spirit of God through our Scripture will convince us something. The Spirit of God through the Scriptures will convince a lost person they need to be saved. He won't make them, but he'll try to convince them. So, somebody comes in and they don't understand. See where this thing fits? But if all prophets, instead of this tongue-speaking thing, somebody's going to come in there and hear the rightly divided word, and they're going to realize and they're going to try to get a hold of some things. That's one of the ways to look at that whole thing. But if... these people, an unknown God, doing the worship that they're doing and thinking the church, all this kind of stuff. Wouldn't that be good if all the preachers started preaching about Paul, people would start to see this thing. But that's not going to happen. Here's the more popular one in verse 14. Go down to verse 36. I shouldn't say more popular, more applicable. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Who do you think you are? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant, he says. But if, you know, you got friends, you got family, you got somebody somewhere that you want them to hear this. But if they want to be ignorant about it, then I guess let him be ignorant, he says. Paul tries to tell him, but he finally dusts his feet and goes on. He knows who to avoid. He knows who to withdraw from. He says, I like to show these people these things, but if any man be ignorant, then I guess let him be ignorant. If he doesn't want to learn it, if you don't want to read a Bible that you've got, you've given to somebody, or just whatever, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Look at verse, that's far enough. Let's look down here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. A lot of verses on this one here now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we were sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the letter, Spirit, giveth life. But if, there's the but if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, that'd be the law. because that law was presented forward in Romans chapter 7, made him die. It says, but the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. That's a big, long but if. Okay, so all that stuff is but if, and he says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? I mean, if the commandments, if the law did what it did, just imagine what the Spirit of God will do. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So if the law was what it was, boy, what do we have after that? It's much more glorious. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. And because of that, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We just need simple scriptures, simple King James Bibles, one and two syllable words. So if that ministration of condemnation be glorious, the administration of that death, which is the law, was what it was. Oh, well, he says there, where's the but if at? The but if is in verse 7 here. But if the ministration is much better the second time, the second level. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Get my mind back on this trail here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, okay, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's a great statement. That's what these guys are there for. That's what the Bible's there for. Then he says, but if, there it is, but if our gospel be hid, if they don't see this, they don't get it, it is hid to them that are lost. And you can maybe come to a conclusion of that statement. I mean, here he says, they've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Paul and these guys are not walking in craftiness. This Bible is not a sneaky, crafty book trying to manipulate your life. And they didn't handle the Word of God deceitfully, which would be wrongly divided to make things happen. It says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. They wanted these guys to hear what they had to say about Paul's gospel. But they still say, but if our gospel be hid, if they don't want to hear this thing, if it's hid, it is hid to them that are lost. They can't see it. They're lost. That would be one of the possibilities of why some people don't understand these things. And then lastly, let's go up here to Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and Spirit against the flesh. Paul knows that, Romans 7. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. So this battle we have is the reason we don't do the things that we should try to do. But here's a big but if. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we've been led by the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. We are no longer under the law. But if? Well, we are. We took that challenge. We accepted that grace. We accepted His mercy. We accepted Him as such. We accepted His teachings to be true. And we believe, we heard, we believe, and we learned to trust. And we're trusting. We trust stronger every day. But if something doesn't go right, He's still who the Bible says He is. No reason to doubt, no reason to go backwards, no reason to set back, no reason to do anything, no reason to worry about God changing His mind about your salvation or your soul, no reason. There's no but if we do something, we could lose our salvation or lose our fellowship. We don't have that but if. But if something doesn't go right, He's still God, He's still King James Bible, still the Word of God. If people don't like it, but if, well, it's still the Word of God to me. And it's rightly divided. And we're learning. And it's hard. And it's easy. It's frustrating. It's very peaceful. Take your pick. But if something's going hard in this day and age, we know that God's there to take care of us because we know we're not in the tribulation, etc., etc. So you can do your own studies on the but if. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were just really strong about it. Hey, if God doesn't come get us out of this fire, He's still God. And we're still His son. So that's a good thing. So, tribulation, but if you do that, your history, we don't have that fear. Not in these days, dispensation of grace. But if an angel or somebody talked to Paul, we better not fight against God. That's right. Because Jesus Christ did talk to Paul. And if you fight against Paul, you're fighting against God. That's how it comes across. And that's too bad. Why fight God?